What an incredible year it has been. And I just want to thank you for being here. This is going to be an awesome episode today. You're going to enjoy it. I certainly did. But yeah, let's just take a second. I mean, 2023 was an awesome year and really year one for me building Profluence as well. So now 2024 coming up, even more excited myself, and I'm sure many of you as well, just in sports in general, with maybe what you're building, obviously with what we're building here across the Profluence ecosystem. And to top it off, we have episode 99 today. Just to recap, profluence.com/podcast is where all of them are located. So many great ones this year. Technically, we've done over 100, but we'll start to release some of the next ones in 2024. And today's guest, as always, remember, we try to find the athletes, founders, investors, entrepreneurs, and smartest people in sports. Fits all the categories and more over her career, Kirby Porter. She is the founder of New Game Labs, also great at posting content. You'll really enjoy this conversation. We break it all down. She's the perfect person that I wanted to do this with. We have a really solid combo. And so many great takeaways. And enjoy, re-listen to it, share it with people. And we got a very exciting year ahead as we recap 2023 here today. So I guess tell us a little bit about New Game Labs. Thanks for coming on. And I know we already did this for people that don't know, but give us the rundown so people know what you're up to and where you've been and how they can get involved if they want to work with you in some capacity.
Yeah, of course. So I'm the founder of New Game Labs, and it is really a brand at the intersection of athletes and technology. That's been a lot of my journey. I played basketball at Harvard, started my career in sports marketing at PepsiCo, before joining Global Ventures, an early stage sports VC firm where I was leading the firm's marketing. And during that time, it really just kind of opened my eyes to one, a completely new career path, but also another application of my passion for helping athletes. I'd always been creating content about athletes at the start of my career. I had this podcast called Court to Corporate, which was about athletes in business. So kind of prelude to what I'm doing today. But, you know, being in this world was just so exciting for me, you know, being at the forefront of new ideas, speaking to other founders with big ideas. And during my time at the firm, just so much change was occurring in sports, the NIL rule changes, the growth of women's sports, lots of emerging leagues and teams. And it really just kind of re-energized the passion that I had for empowering this next generation of athletes, but in this new space. So New Game Labs represents that. It is building the athlete's economy, this new ecosystem of innovation around the modern day athlete. And we do that through media and partnerships with different startups and investors across the ecosystem.
Very cool. And I know you've worked with who we had on the podcast recently with Grandstand, with Galaxy. You worked with some pretty cool companies at that intersection. And speaking on all those points today, reviewing 2023. So excited about that. Where do you want to start? What topic are you feeling to kick us off?
I think we should start with athlete investors because you have been covering athlete investors for a very long time. It's a core pillar of New Game Labs content too. So I think we should start there.
Let's do it. So what are you seeing? We've had a few new entrants. We've seen a few new models pop up. I'll hand it over to you, but it's been a big year in the athlete investing world for sure.
It has. So I think the biggest thing is like the evolution of how athlete investing is occurring. In one of the recent newsletters, we published this graphic of like, it's gone from angels to institutional funds to this kind of collective model with a lot of different things in between. But the angels is an example of like Shaq investing into Google. The institutional fund is like a Serena Ventures or Kevin Durant and 35 Ventures. And then now you see so many athletes coming together in groups, whether it be syndicates or into, you know, funds where athletes are the LPs investing together, leveraging a lot of the same principles of what has worked for angels, for institutional funds. Like the benefits of having an athlete investor is the influence, the reach, the network, the business development, and all these things. It's kind of like a marketing partnership on steroids, basically. But now with the collective of athletes, it's been really powerful. And I think it's changing how startups are approaching the landscape. And I also think at its core, it's changing how we think about the concept of athlete marketing. So I'll leave it there. And I'm curious to hear what
you think. No, that was great. Yeah, I'm very interested on the collective groups of funds sort of backed by athletes, because it's not a syndicate model, which we've seen really over the last 5 years. Curious, pushing it back to you, because you covered it really well. There's really nothing else to add. Do you think there's a certain model that works best? Is there one that you've seen the most success with? Or what are your thoughts on the different models or the advantages or disadvantages between them?
Yeah. So when I think about this question, I put myself in the shoes of like a startup founder, and what are they looking for? And I think the answer of what's better or what's worse, or, you know, what's the right fit, really depends on what are the goals of your raise, and what type of strategic investors do you want to involve? Are you prioritizing like a hands-on investor that is going to be like any VC or like a lead investor would be with your startup? Or do you want the power of having a collective of athletes behind your brand, of being able to tap into the reach of many? So I think it really depends. And one of my key points was that you have to get more specific. It can't just be, we want athlete investors. It can't just be, we want to market with athletes and NIL. It's like, what are you looking for? What type of model aligns with your goals?
That's true. Yeah, it is where you're at and what you're looking for. And they do all have their advantages. I guess jumping right to the next one, that really right up your wheelhouse, creator economy. And obviously it ties to athlete investing, what you're building at New Game Labs. What did 2023 look like from a creator economy standpoint? I know you do some stuff with LinkedIn even in the athlete community.
Yeah.
You know, what developments did we see, and what changes do you see coming over 2024?
Two big things. One, the rise of B2B content creators. So we're both in that space, right? We've seen the consumer content creators that are huge TikTok stars, huge YouTubers that have amassed like millions of followings, and they're more entertainment based or skit based or just sport based, whatever it is. But what is new is like this crop of content creators that are starting on LinkedIn, that have newsletters, that have podcasts, that have a business audience of executives, of founders, of investors. And I think it's interesting to like be to people that are like building our brands and businesses around that, of kind of explaining to people what we do. So yeah. I would say that was one of the big trends that now people are starting to understand it a bit more, of like, oh, there are creators that are on LinkedIn that have this business focused approach. And then I would say the other thing is that maybe like a correction of creator economy startups, but creators themselves still prevailing. So the creator economy itself, I think there was a little bit of rhetoric this year around like, was it a bubble? Was it this? Was it that? And the answer is no, depending on what you look at. So if you look at like the actual market value of creators and how the concept of power shifting to the people, like that's still very much happening. Like creator founded brands or, you know, creator driven media companies are still very, very powerful. But I think there is a question of how many tools do they need? What technology is actually needed? To what degree? And for these platforms, are you able to aggregate as many creators as possible in order to make the startup a success? I think that's where, you know, we might start to see a little bit of correction.
And sticking to your, you know, one of your top levels of expertise, we've seen some leagues even incorporate some interesting creator economy, athlete creator initiatives, or even just like you said, some of the sports influencers or whatever people want to call them. You know, do you have any examples of that? Or are there any interesting ones in 2023 you saw or participated in, you found interesting or noteworthy to talk about?
For sure. I think the NWSL's initiative this year with Adobe was really interesting. You know, having an official creative partner, having a creator class. And I believe per the release, at least, there was like focused education and workshops, like teaching their athletes on how to be successful creators and build their brands. And just even in how we see the industry talk about athletes as content creators and how normalized that's become, I think it's just a sign of like where we are and how people are seeing the intersectionality of these markets, and how they really do impact each other a lot. Also, I'm involved with Meta's NIL program, and I think that platform is such a great example of like how to do it right. Like you see how excited the 30 athletes that are in it are, you know, proud to be a part of the program. It's kind of created this like like sisterhood years over years. Now they're in year three. They're bringing people like myself, Sam, Chloe to kind of give back and, you know, create this like mentorship piece to it. So I think there's a lot of different ways that sports brands and leagues and teams are able to apply kind of the concepts of like creator NIL programs into their marketing.
Yeah. And I'm very curious to see how this moves downstream across platforms, because leagues have obviously done linear media, which I view as the top of the funnel, very well. They're now starting to figure out this sort of top mid funnel of social media. But where are they next in terms of, like, I don't think there's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have like their own podcast or newsletter or anything, right? And then even down into events and like true fans, like where are they in this funnel that, I mean, it's just my own funnel that I think of, but like pushing them down into true fandom. And obviously Web3 gave us a glimpse of that. But sticking within topics, you mentioned NIL and some of the things you're doing with Meta there, a big year, name, image, and likeness, NIL for short. Yeah. What are some of your takeaways from this past year? It feels like a million things happened and there's a lot more craziness to happen over the next few years. But what's your takeaways for 2023?
Yeah, I think with NIL, it's so interesting. Anytime maybe you get this as well, but like the perception of being an NIL adjacent, even though like I'm not directly in, it's like, oh, it's the wild, wild west. And I'm like, is it? Like, it depends on how you look at it. I think from a tech perspective, it's like pretty straightforward. It's like startup founders are trying to build solutions to help athletes. And the addressable market is much bigger than it was before. Before it was just like the 2% of professional athletes. Mm-hmm. Now there's millions of athletes across all levels that, you know, can potentially use their products. And I think the first iteration of like problem to solve was like influencer marketing for athletes. So a lot of marketplaces and platforms that have succeeded at doing that. And also we've seen this intersection of like NIL with other hype cycles, like Web3 was a big one, AI, we're in it right now. I think the AI applications are actually really, really interesting, because even as an entrepreneur, as a content creator, as anyone who has integrated AI into their workflows is actually seeing the real utility of these things. Whereas I feel like the first wave was a bit more like philosophical and a lot of great ideas of like giving athletes ownership. But I think this intersection of like NIL tech and AI is like very tangible and needed for athletes that have so much going on right now that they need efficiency. They need quicker ways to do things. They need that like AI pilot, like that co-pilot near them, whether it's in marketing or managing the logistics of their day-to-day, whatever it is. So I think we'll see more of that. And yeah, I'm just excited to see like how people continue to iterate.
Yeah. And what, from an NIL perspective, in terms of paying college athletes or the legislation or women's deals or the marketing side of it, what are some of the things that come to mind for you of where that's going? Because it feels like, I just think as humans, we naturally get sort of like feelings. And I think anyone in this world knows, like, they can feel like, some seismic changes are coming to the college sports and NIL space.
Yeah, lots of change. And that is one area where it's like, hey, what's going to happen? I do think, if anything, the way that NIL has like uplifted like the women's sports game across different games has been the biggest win of it all. You start to see how like the profiles that athletes are building at in college basketball or college soccer, college volleyball are now going to lead into those, you know, fan bases coming with them at a professional level. Lots of conversation too around like, how do we think about NIL brand valuation and, you know, the numbers that we attach to athletes, just even philosophically, right? Like there's a lot of different trackers and tools that people are using, which I think is helpful to quantify in some sense, like what is the reach of these athletes, or like how much are they able to earn from the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of followers that they have. But I think it's interesting to think about like what's the right way to use that information and communicate that information.
I agree. Yeah, there's definitely some gaps in like the tools needed from AI, which we'll see. And then just even I think there's a big disconnect between athletes, coaches, athletic departments, legislators. And so I'm curious to see how that all plays out. But want to open up, because we touched on women's sports there, another big year in the women's sports world. I know you've posted some good statistics, so I'm sure you have some fresh atop your mind. But I mean, it's really cool to see that space continue to be on what seems like a hockey stick growth, but really just like hitting that inflection point. What did 2023 look like? What were some big developments? What are some things that caught your eye? We'll start there.
Yeah, the statistics that are top of mind right now, because I was recently just reviewing all my posts on LinkedIn, is the Wasserman report that media coverage has increased from 4% to 15%. The Deloitte report that the market is going to surpass $1 billion in 2024. And then Sports Pro Media, the most 50 most marketable athletes, almost 50% women athletes, which is huge. So I think one of my little like quotes I keep saying is like, women's sports aren't on the rise. They're here. Like, you know, because I think it's a part of changing it is like even how we talk about women's sports. And yeah, I just think a lot of the data is pointing to like how much growth has occurred. A lot of that, you know, because of investment in the space, startup founders that are building in the space, brands that are pouring their dollars into the athletes and the leagues and the teams, but obviously still so much room to grow. I think what I'm excited about is like the continuation of the like woman athlete, like business mogul, investor, like so much of what we've seen in the NBA, NFL of like these, you know, multi-hyphenate, like media moguls, investor, they have their own venture fund, they have this, they have that. It's like those things are happening, of course, in women's sports, but like, wow, I can't wait until we get to the level where it's just the norm. Like that stat that like 120 professional, current, former, I think it might be NBA players or athletes have their own media production company from Forbes. Yeah.
That's a lot. Wow.
It's a lot, but it's like, that's awesome that it's the norm. And so how can we get to that level in the women's game? I'm excited.
In terms of an investment standpoint, you know, any areas in the women's sports that, like you said, like, and I do appreciate that of the verbiage is language is always very important and it evokes different emotions and feelings. And so like saying, no, it's here, not, oh, it's on the rise. Like, it's still like, yeah, I like that. But any areas from an investment standpoint that you're like, oh, that's super interesting. Or if I, you know, was looking to get into this space, I should be looking at XYZ in the women's world. These are big opportunities. Anything come to mind from that standpoint, knowing the space really well?
Yeah. Something that comes to mind is actually a recent piece I did on women's soccer investment and just like doing research for that, seeing that there are different funds that are like have a very heavy, at least, or like purely focused women's soccer investment strategy. And I think in the Deloitte report, women's soccer accounted for the majority or highest percentage of growth in the market next year. So I think a lot of people have their eyes on women's soccer. I think women's basketball is such a cultural catalyst for a lot of things. And I would expect that there will be a lot of different brands built around the game, whether it's like media brands, lifestyle brands. They also think about the opportunities adjacent to like the actual game or league itself. And what are those sports that have cultural catalysts that have the ability to like expand beyond their sport?
Yeah, I like that. Definitely there's a lot of interesting ancillary plays around. Like a lot of people looking at it black and white of, oh, here's this, but it's like, okay, well, what is the women's sports rise going to also lead to? Maybe you should be, you know, so I do like that perspective. And this also leads into perfectly transition into the globalization of sports. And I mean, every day, it feels like there's something somewhere not in the traditional North America space that's happening. I mean, even though we talked about earlier, a lot of the athlete led initiatives are out of Europe, which is interesting for a lot of different reasons. But pulling it back, globalization, what are you seeing? What's interesting to you? What happened in 2023? And, you know, what should we all be paying attention to from that space?
Yeah. So actually going to touch on what you just shared of a lot of the athlete investment funds or startups coming from Europe, whether it's Sequel, like an athlete investment platform, or Apex Capital, both of those are from across the pond. And I just think that's really cool that now there's more connectivity between how we think about the athlete tech investment ecosystem, not just in the US, but globally. So that's something that's been interesting. Even when I think about like the startups that I've been in contact with this year, I would say more and more that percentage has been more global than last year. So, but I'm curious to hear like where else you see that.
Yeah. And sorry for stealing your thunder on that one. I should have not pre-led the question too much. I think, well, I'll just touch on a few. India is super fascinating to me. I think we've seen a lot of money sort of flow into that region, and especially with a lot of the IPL, the Indian Premier League, the Cricket League, there's a lot of money that was generated there. So a lot of those owners or investors are now starting to go, okay, let's take our money from India and where should we place it next? So we're starting to see, usually it was just US money going to elsewhere, but now it's starting to come back around full circle. I mean, everyone knows about Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, so I don't need to touch on that too much, but obviously very, very important. I think there's going to be big things in 24 out of them. And I say them, but just that region, the MENA region in general. Actually, Africa has a lot of interesting things. When we post this, it will be a little bit delayed, but I was just looking through some of the news, and there was three African startups, sports tech startups that received funding over the past week, which is really cool. I think there's a lot of opportunities there as that space grows. Europe is catching up to America and even innovating a little bit, like with the athlete funds, right? So everything was based in US, but not only did Europe go, okay, we're a few years behind on this, they said, okay, let's build a new innovative model.
Yeah.
And also shows a little bit more of the collective teamwork that a Europe nation might have, where America's a little more, I don't want to say ego-based, but a lot of the athletes have been, oh, this is my thing. Where in Europe, it's like, no, this is our thing. Yeah, I mean, I could go on for a million things. South America is one area I want to learn more about. So if there's anyone from that region that's listening, I would love to learn more, because I hear things from everywhere else. I feel like I'd hear someone from Antarctica before I'd hear something from South America. But yeah.
We need a deep dive with everything you just said, because that was great.
Yeah. And then Asia too. I don't wanna gloss over that. We've seen China was Saudi Arabia before they started doing what they're doing, and it sort of fell off. So a lot of people that have long-term memory are going, is the same thing going to happen? But even that region, especially Singapore, is starting to go, wait a second here. Like, why aren't we involved in this game? And it all just stems to sports as an asset class, which is great. So flipping to, I guess, off of that, that touches on globalization pretty well. From a startup lens, or new companies or industries, we've talked about the hype cycles and how it went from like SPACs to Web3 to AI. And even I would say teams, like pro high level teams, are sort of in a hype cycle. You know, what are you seeing, or what's interesting to you of where some of the space is going next and areas to build in?
So tech-wise this year, kind of going back adjacent to the NIL conversation, I do think there is still a lot of room to grow in the tech solutions built for athletes when you think about the suite of services that the athlete needs today. I do think there are learnings to take from the creator economy and be like, all right, where did we do too much? Where were there things built that actually weren't needed? And find the middle, right? Of like, okay, we have this set of athlete marketplaces. What else do athletes need to build their brands, to grow their finances, to manage the operations of their business, to get into commerce, all these things? And so that's like one of the core principles of the athletes economy. It's like new technology for a new generation of athletes. And I think those are the things that really excite me. To something you were saying earlier, I do think there is a question of like, okay, how big can that get? I think it can get pretty big now. Like when we think about the market of athletes and how they are expanding, I think it can get pretty sizable. But you see so many examples now of, you know, people starting in sports and going outside of it. But I think it's a great way to get the ball rolling.
It's a great market test and endorser of your technology or your product or your service. So whether, I mean, even Dust Identity, it's a recent, they just raised $40 million. And they were in the aerospace and defense industry. And they raised 40, and a large portion of that is to get into sports, and it's all around detection. So like, you can go that way, but you can also, of course, start in sports. And you have a really, it's a great use case for, because you have really passionate people or high performers to test things out in a very big market of itself. But then, of course, it's always, can we extend beyond that into other industries or consumers or whatever your strategy is? Something else I just want to touch on real quick, because we were talking about this before, but I saw a report lately. There was about, and this will make sense when I get to the point in a second, but there was about $7 billion raised for funding, whether PE or venture in the sports space in 2023, right? That's what's reported. But just knowing sort of behind the scenes, a lot of those were just announcements. So there isn't actually $7 billion of liquid capital looking for, you know, the early stage or late stage sports deals. So I wonder what that actual number is, but I would at least cut it in half, because a lot of people are like, oh, there's so much money in the space. Like there's a lot of money announced, and that's reflected in there wasn't very much sports tech founding and or sports tech funding over. And when we say sports tech, it's very broad in its sense, obviously, too. But I guess from the venture lens, having worked with startups, having come from a venture fund yourself, you know, what are you seeing in that space? What are you hearing? You know, what did you witness over 2023? Where do you see it going beyond?
Yeah, I think 2023 was an exciting year for like the start of women's sports funds. So like with Monarch Collective, I think so many people were excited to see that announcement of like, yes, like this is big enough. Like women's sports are big enough to have a dedicated fund in that space. We've talked about athlete funds as well. I think also a growing amount of sports tech funds, and like just seeing how many new entrants have come into the market since 2020 has really been interesting. I think overall, what has been cool to see is how athletes are thinking earlier about wanting to get into this world based off of conversations I've had with athletes in the NIL program or just athletes I've had one-on-ones with. It's like, these are things that they're thinking about in college. And so I think we're starting to see just like the transition or the playbook for athletes to get into the business world starting so much earlier. And I think that's really exciting. And it speaks to the power of like having examples, having playbooks, and really people being able to see it as something that's feasible and not just limited to like the 1%.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to touch on, and that's a good perspective, it is cool to see the athletes want to get involved earlier, is across two fronts. And I think they tie hand in hand together pretty well. But we've seen an influx also of emerging leagues and then starting to see a little drip of downstream movement. Any insights from those areas from your side over this past year?
Yeah. So with emerging leagues, two things. I think one, the athlete marketing opportunity within those. I think a lot of the narrative around this league so far has been the athlete investors that are involved in the league. So like with Major League Pickleball, like did a case study on that. I think it's so fascinating. Like the way that they've have actually integrated their athlete investors like into the marketing, like if you really spend time like looking at all of their social media channels, seeing how they're doing collaboration posts, bringing the athletes to the games beyond just a fundraising announcement, I think is definitely a step in the right direction of like, how do you really engage athlete investors? But I think the next step is like, obviously, all right, how do we raise the profiles of our athletes within these leagues? And there's a lot of lessons and playbooks to take from leagues that have done it for years and years and years and that are known for being player driven and player forward. But also, I think it's interesting how like athlete stardom is like more democratized now than ever, with, you know, an athlete being able to go to TikTok and gain 400,000 followers overnight. It's like, so going back to the point of like athlete brand valuations and just how diverse it is today, it's like, how do we really think about the paths to athlete stardom? It doesn't always have to be mass appeal. It can be athletes and these like very niche, hyper engaged communities around a sport that can still drive value for the league. So I'm excited to see like, what are the innovative ways that athletes like in pickleball or cycling or volleyball or Fidel. I've seen you talk about Fidel. I need to learn more about that. But like, what are the ways
we can
talk?
We can go deep on that in some way. That's a huge, I think that's the next big sport here in America. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm curious. I need to learn more. But yeah, I'm curious to see like, what will the athlete marketing playbook for those leagues be?
Yeah. And I'm surprised you don't, I mean, Miami seems to be the Padel hub right now. I mean, I was seeing courts being built everywhere.
Up and down the street. Yes.
Yeah. It's really cool. But anyway, I mean, I'll quickly gloss over that because I think it's interesting for anyone listening. 500 courts in the US, about 40,000 or something in Europe. Big gap, big difference there. 25 million players in Europe, about less than a million in the US. So it's a huge opportunity and people are already exposed to it through pickleball or through tennis. So, and there's a lot of these merging of these racket sports into one facility, which I think you're seeing a lot in Miami of, hey, let's build a social club or something around a community aspect. Community, I don't think that's a 2023 thing. I think it's a 2024 thing that we'll talk more about of people really, hey, we're going to build a social club. We're going to give you tennis, pickleball, and paddle. And then if you want drinks after, you want to hang out and do work. I think we're going to see a lot of that over the next coming years, even entertainment. It's called F1 Arcade or something. And so these really mixing sports and entertainment. No, Kirby, this has been awesome. I mean, I learned a ton myself, which is why I always do them. I mean, you can't get a better 2023 review anywhere else. So what are your socials? What's the website? Where can everyone, if you follow me and you don't follow you, meaning Kirby Porter, then I don't know. I mean, you should go do that right now, but give us the lowdown.
Yes. Subscribe to the newsletter at newgamelabs.com. You'll see a big subscribe button. And then I'm Kirby Porter on all social channels. So I'm mainly on LinkedIn though. So you can find me on there.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, shoot, this might be a yearly thing.
All right. I'm down for it. So let's do it.